Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So tonight, I don't really know how this is going to go. I got to be totally honest. I was talking to Pastor John before the service, and I told him, I preached to my dogs today about 6.5 different times. And the one time I preached to him, I went by my notes, and I was about 22 minutes on the dot. No salvations. The second time I preached to him, I did not stay on my notes. I was 1 hour and 45 minutes to the dot. Two salvations.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, listen, I made a salvation call, and them dogs came running. I'm in my room, and I'm preaching the fire of God down. And I said, if anyone needs Jesus, come to the altar. Both them dogs sat right there. I said, praise God. You guys think I'm kidding, but I'm so not joking. Old Roxy and Diesel got baptized again in the Holy Ghost. It was awesome. Amen. So tonight, I want to talk about joy. I've got the joy. Will you turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you got it? Do you got it? I believe in this day and age, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of stuff in the governmental arena, the political arena. There's all sorts of stuff on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. And the list goes on and on and on and on about drama and nonsense. You go to Walmart, it doesn't take very long to realize how many people don't have the joy. Can somebody say amen? And as the body of Christ, I think it's really important in this day and age to really be different. I think when we go to the marketplace, when we go to the store, when we go to doing about our daily business and our daily walk as a Christian, we should be so differentiated from the world. The world right now is miserable. The world right now is depressed. The world right now is in complete anguish and concern about what's going to happen tomorrow and wars and rumors of wars. And I believe right now it's necessary for the body of Christ, although to be aware of what is going on in the world, I think we should look a little bit different. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you got it? Do you got it? Because I think we should be filled with joy. I've got a reason to be joyous. And tonight, I have to stick to my notes, or otherwise, I won't be done until like 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to take my happy little feet back up here on the stage and stay behind the podium tonight in Jesus' name. Point number one. Joy is not an emotion that can be fabricated. It's not an emotion that can be forced, and it is not an emotion that can be faked. I cannot force you to laugh. As much as I would love to, and, you know, I like to be humorous. I like to laugh. If you've been around me at all on a day-to-day basis here in the office, me and Pastor John will get to cutting up, and poor Aubrey is just get attacked. She's shaking her head. She said, it's true, because we'll get to rolling on it. We got to get a t-shirt that made that says there's a verse for that or there's a scripture for that. And we just joke and have a good time. I'm an I-type personality. If you've taken the DISC test, I like to be around people. I like to be involved with people. And I really like to make people laugh. It's part of my nature. And it's a good thing, because I know the Word of God says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And really, if I'm trying to get you to laugh, it's just because I'm trying to make you stronger. If I'm trying to get you to laugh, it's because I believe that God's trying to build you up. He's trying to encourage you. He's trying to get you through something. And sometimes a little humor here and there is a good thing. What's the old saying what did she say? A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down? You know, especially when you're preaching hard. At youth on Friday nights, like if I'm like got a real good, just slap them in the face with the Bible word. You know, like one of those good ones, just rattle them up a little bit. I'll crack a few jokes so that it goes down a little easier and they don't think I hate them. Because I don't hate them, I just want to give them the truth. We got to preach the truth. Unapologetically preach the truth. And the truth is, I've got the joy. And the truth is, you have it too. And we'll get to that before the night's over. Even if you don't feel it right now, I promise you've got it. How many Christians do we have here tonight? If your hand is up, you've got the joy. If you've lost it, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm taking it back tonight. We're going to go on down into the enemy's camp, and we're going to take back what the enemy stole. It's mine for the taking. Jesus said it. It's mine. I take it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, back to the notes. Joy is not an emotion that can be fabricated, forced, or faked. Now, Psalm 137, verses 2 through 4, it says that we hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there, those who carried us away captive asked a song. And those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So, as you can see here, you can't force something that's not there. You've taken us captive, you're plundering our land, and you want me to dance, monkey, dance? Come on, let's be real. You can't fake this. You can't force this. There is something to be said when you're going through a situation, though, to praise your way out of the situation. But you can still praise when you don't feel it. Is that okay? This is something different. I can't be joyous. It's not an emotion that I can just, like, flip a light switch and now all of a sudden I'm happy. Are you with me? That brings a little bit of a balance to this because the other 10 points that I have are the other side of that. Amen? Okay, point number two. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Your joy should not be circumstantial. Psalm 27, verses 5 through 7 says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Watch this in Luke 6, 22 through 23. And I'm just going to read a lot of the word tonight. Is that okay? Just be baptized in the word tonight in Jesus' name. It says, blessed are you when men hate you. And when they exclude you. And revel you. And cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. What? Your joy isn't circumstantial. James 1, 2 through 3 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Your joy should not be based or dependent on the stuff that you're going through. I want to let you know as a Christian, if you were here last week Sunday, you heard all about the cave times. I want to let you know we go through some trials and some tribulations. There are some days when we're not on top of the mountain, we're in the bottom of the valley. I want to help you though, that's where the fruit is produced and that's okay. But understand that true joy is available even when you're in the valley, even when you're going through it. I want to let you know, do you have any idea how much of a slap in the face that is to the devil? I mean to tell you, when it's going bad, when your marriage is on the rocks, when little Johnny just got arrested, when little Susie just got kicked out of wherever she was at, I mean, all hell is breaking loose around you, and you just, you know. We'll get to singing that before we get out of here tonight. We'll go back to kids' church. Are you with me? And you begin to praise and shout, and you got this mighty praise in you, and you're joyous, and the enemy's looking at you going, what is wrong with this crazy person? Why are they laughing right now? Why are they happy right now? You know, if you go out and you wreck your car, there's always two people. There's always two, you know. You've got the one person, goes out, gets into a bad car crash. And I'm in no way saying, in any way, shape, or form, saying that car crashes are good, but fact of the matter is if you go out and wreck your car, you have the one person that's just going to be, oh, woe is me and my brand new car and I lost my car. And they're all concerned about an earthly treasure, something that they spent money on. They're all beat up and tore up about the fact that they totaled their car. And then on the flip side of the coin, you got the other person that's like, praise God, I still got lungs in my breath. I walked away from that unscathed. Thank you, Jesus. I'm still alive to breathe another day. I'm still alive to cast out another devil. I'm still alive to take ground for the kingdom. I ain't worried about the earthly vessel. I'm worried about my vessels in heaven. You see, there's two sides of the coin there, right? And your joy is not dependent on an earthly situation, on an earthly circumstance, because one has a choice to choose. I can be all woe is me and pitiful and depressed and miserable because I wrecked a car that I promise you money and time can replace. And the other side of it is, thank you, Jesus, I'm not dead.
And to be fair, even if we die, thank you, Jesus, I'm on to glory.
Okay, you know.
I know where I'm going. If he takes me now, come on, Lord.
It's okay, I don't want to go anywhere, but I'm just, you know.
Is everybody with me?
Okay.
Point number 3. Joy is possible.
Let me put it this way. Joy should be possible when you begin to feel secure in God, when you feel security in God. Psalm 4, 6 through 8 says, there are many who say, who will show us any good? Lift up the light. Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and their wine increase. And I will lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When there is a security in God, there is a supernatural joy that should come upon you. When you begin to feel and recognize and understand what true security means. I'm a child of God. Do we have any other children of God in here tonight? If you are a child of God, as soon as that becomes a revelation, and it's becoming more of a revelation to me daily, can I say it that way? Because I don't have a fullness of his love toward me. I don't have the fullness of how he thinks about me. And it's really hard to imagine that, because how can the created think of, in our finite mind, how the creator thinks of us, how the creator loves us? But I want to let you know that when we understand who we are in Christ as a child of God, there is so much security in that. I am protected. I am provided for. I am blessed. Yeah, I love this all the time. I say it all the time in youth, don't I? When we talk about the devil and kicking devil butt, do you know who I am? Devil? I'm a king's baby. Do you know who you messing with? I'm a king's baby. And when we catch that revelation and he messes with me, he's not messing with me, he's messing with who's within me. There's a song out right now, and at the moment, it's just my, like, sob, tear, and just glory song. You know the ones that just get you really in the presence of God. I think Champions, is that right? Oh, yeah. You know it. It's just, as soon as it starts, I'm just, tears are flowing. Just the water ducts has opened up. And there's a verse in, or there a verse or a bridge, or I don't know what you guys call it, but there's a portion of the song. And the writer of the song says, I know who I am because of whose I am. Oh, man, that is so good. See, he's got a revelation, and he's secure in who he is as a child of God, as a king's baby, as a son of God, as a daughter of God. He understands where his provision comes from. He understands where his protection comes from. He understands where his deliverance comes from. He is the creator of all, Almighty God, El Shaddai. He's done it all. He's created it all. And when I am, because of him, I know who my master is. I know who my daddy is. That alone. I don't need anything else. I don't need the other 10 points. I'll just praise him till I'm dead right there. We're done. I can drop the mic and go home. Are you with me? When we catch that, you are a child of God. He has called you with a purpose and a destiny. He knows all the hairs on your head, and it may be a lot more for you than it is for me, but he still knows them. Come on, somebody. He has specifically called you out for a purpose with a destiny. I know who I am because of whose I am. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll shout you down with praise and joy for the rest of my life for that right there alone. How do you take somebody so messed up like me and give me even just a smidgen of an opportunity to do something for you? He created us. There's no devil in hell that can even come close to the magnitude and the power that God has. And you're his child. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'm trying to contain it. Is that all right? Because at some point, I'm going to break out and I won't be able to hold back. So I'm trying to keep the lid on the bottle for a minute. Point number 4 is joy can come when we have clear direction in our life. And I love this. It's different to security. Security tells me I know who I am. Direction tells me I know where I'm going.
And when we get those two and we couple them together, I know that I'm a child of God, but I also know the plans and the purposes that he has set before me. So now I know that every step that my foot makes, every piece of ground that my feet tread upon, I know I'm taking the kingdom of God with me because I'm doing the wills and the plans and the purposes of God in my life. And that'll bring so much joy upon your life. I want to let you know, as a youth pastor, the greatest joy I have ever received in my life as a young minister is when I see a young person come to Christ. Is when I see God begin to move in these young people, and I spend all my time pouring out and pouring into them and beating them over the head with the Bible and just hours and hours on the phone, and it's okay, little Susie's gonna find another fish and you're gonna make it through it, it's gonna be all right, and all this stuff. And you see they come to Christ and they don't do it just based off a word alone, it's a heart decision. You see their whole lives begin to shift and transform and change. There's nothing greater for me than to see that. I want to tell you, that's a joy that I mean, I'll get on the phone and I'll try to call Nick and I'll be like, Nick, you'll never believe what just happened. And then I'll start to try to testify and I'll just lose it on the phone. And then he said, for like, how many times does it happen, brother? A lot. And an amazing thing about, oh my God, thank you, Jesus, is that joy, watch this, is contagious. Oh, that's like a real Holy Ghost COVID right there. I make a phone call and I'll be like, brother, you won't believe what happened to little Timmy. He just gave his life to the Lord right now. And I'll be on the phone going, ah! And Nick will be going, ah! And we'll have an old joy party together. And then he'll get on the phone and call his wife, and I'll call my wife, and we'll just have this big old cry session together. And everybody gets filled with the joy because we're seeing direction in our lives. This is what God has called us to do in this season in our lives. It may not be where he's called me to in the fruition of it, the totality of it, but in the moment, I'm walking where he wants me to be. And that gives me so much joy to know that I'm taking the right steps. I didn't go the wrong way. I went the right way. I might have stumbled a little bit on the road, bumped my toe and broke a, you know, I guess your walk's a little smoother than mine. I'm sorry. I've got some rocks in my road. Amen. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. Point number five, true joy, and this is, I'm probably going to hang out here for a minute, just a warning. True joy comes when we live in God's presence. Psalm 21:5-7 says that his glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. Psalm 28:6-8 says, blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Now, I said last week at the beginning of the service, and I think both services, I said that, you know, I'm addicted to the presence of God. And I mean that 100%. And it's going to make a little more sense because in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is where it really begins to come out. Now, I need to make this kind of make it a little bit more known as to why I love the presence of God so much, because it's not just because I need joy. Are you with me? Because his presence does far more than just joy. It's in his presence, that's where my provision comes from. It's in his presence, that's where my protection comes from. He'll hide me under the shadow of his wing. Are you with me? It's in his presence where our power comes from. You want the miracles of God to follow your life? Get in his presence. If you want deliverance to be your portion, get in his presence. That's where my deliverance comes from. It's only because of the presence of God. The fullness of joy is in his presence. So when you begin to go after his presence, you get the fullness of everything you need. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's not like I need 1 + 1 = 2 to get, you know, X, Y to get Z. Are you with me? I just need the presence of God and everything else is going to follow suit. I just need to get into his presence and then all the depression goes. I need to get into his presence and I'll stop worrying about the bills. I need to get into his presence and I won't worry so much about my marriage. I need to get into his presence and I won't worry so much about little Tommy and little Susie. When I'm in his presence, everything begins to manifest out of that place. And that's where true joy comes in. It's only in his presence that in an absolute cave situation, when all hell is breaking loose, it is only in his presence where true joy will come in. Try as you might, you will not find true joy in the bottle. You will not find true joy in a pill. You will not find true joy in a person. There is no woman, there is no man in the world that will give you true joy. Temporary, possible. True joy that is not temporary is only found in the presence of God. It's only in his presence. Okay, point number 6. Joy comes when we spend a life praising God. I like this one. I like praise. Psalm 27:6 says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Singing is a vocal thing. Singing makes a noise. There is a sound that comes out when we begin to praise the King of Kings. Psalm 47:1-3 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with a voice of triumph." That sounds like joy to me. Joy doesn't look like this. Joy doesn't look like this. I don't want to disrespect the altar, but I'd lay down and just be a big sloppy bum up here for a minute to show you that joy doesn't look like that either. Joy looks like this. I'm going to sing praises to the Lord. I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to shout with a voice of triumph. I'm going to get and do a little praise and a little jig. And I'm going to... That looks like joy. Are you with me? "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth, and he will subdue the peoples under his feet and the nations under our feet." Psalm 71:23 says, "My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul which you have redeemed." This is so good. Joy comes from praising God. Now, praise does something really powerful, and I know we've taught about this a lot, but when you begin to praise, something begins to happen to you on the inside. And even if you don't feel it in the moment, there is a reaction. There's something taking place deep within you that gives an outward response that begins to change even the area and the things that are around you. The atmosphere around you can begin to shift because of your praise. Now, I oftentimes in youth on Friday nights, I go after the young people with their music that they listen to, and I'm really sorry that you guys have to bear through this again, but, you know, I'm really big on it because impartation is impartation. How many of you know that if you go and you listen to very depressing, just like, you know, just really, really morbid, depressed music, you're going to begin to feel morbid and depressed? Are you with me? If you begin to listen to, like, really heavy, just like, what do they call it? Workout music. And it's like, and you just go to the gym and you're like, yeah, pump some iron. Now, it changes what's going on inside of you. But I want to let you know, just as there is with good impartation from God, there's also negative impartation from the enemy. And there's always a fight for your soul. Always. And what you put in is ultimately what you become. If I eat a lot of cheesecake, guess what? Whoever put that cheesecake on my desk, we got to have a conversation. It's not there no more. Are you with me? What you put in is what you become. If you take in a bunch of junk all the time, guess what you're going to end up? Are you with me? And I don't say that as a slap in the face, but it's just reality. If we listen to the most atrocious music and it affects you, I promise you go to a concert, even a worldly concert, people go into that concert all morbid and depressed and aggravated or whatever. They had a bad day. And even if it's like decent music, but it's not Christian music, they'll leave that concert being on a high, right?
from jumping around and praising and shouting to some country singer, and they'll say, "Well, he was great, Luke Bryan." Ah! 20 minutes down the road, they're feeling grumpy again. I want to let you know, if you would praise God the same way that you praised at the Luke Bryan concert, 20 minutes down the road, you wouldn't feel all aggressive and sad, and a miracle would break out, and it would just be contagious. I think of Paul and Silas when they were in the bottom of the cell, and they had just been arrested, a bad situation, mind you, and they're in the bottom of the cell, and in a dark place, but about midnight, it says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were lifting up praise and joy in the bottom of the cell. How is it that in a dark situation like that, they begin to praise? They begin to lift up a little song and dance, and you know what happened? Everything began to shake. The walls began to break down, and not only them, but the people around them got set free. The people around them also got delivered. I want to let you know that when you begin to praise out of your situation, you begin to pray, there's a joy unspeakable that comes to you, and it's contagious. It'll jump on somebody. Pastor William, he oftentimes up here during the praise, he's got this, and I can't recreate it to save my life. I love the man, but he's got the moves like Jagger. He's got those little Cuban feet, and he does this little thing, and it's contagious, because I'll be in the front seat as long as I don't got to come up and give the tithe, because I'm trying to be holy. I'll sit there in the front seat, and I'm like, how's he moving like this? It's contagious. It's contagious. It's a joy that comes out. Have you ever seen a church where the young people are bouncing? You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, you can watch the video, and I'm like, yeah! Now we're having church. That praise is contagious. You know what's also contagious? No. It is. Are you with me? Because I've seen it before at youth. I'm going to pick on the youth because y'all are easy targets. At youth, we'll have the whole front rows, the holy row, you know, and they're jumping. Yeah! They're the one praise song that we got in half a drum. And they're praising with everything they got. And in a row behind them, you've got one kid that, like, mom and dad made them come. Like, you are grounded. You're going to youth tonight, Timmy. Fine. And they get there and they sit in the front row like this. Or even worse, they take a seat. And then all the other kids behind them are watching. They're not praising God, they're watching. And all of a sudden, it's just the front row, and everybody sub front row has got that same stinking attitude on them. I want to let you know, a little praise would break little Timmy out of that shell that he's in. And if everybody else around him would begin to go for it, I believe he'd get broken out of his jail cell that he's in too. Don't be afraid to praise. Don't be worried about who's sitting next to you. Lose your reputation. Part of a revival, in order for there to be a reviving of something, something has to die. Let that old man die. Let those old ways die. I may have praised at a Luke Bryan concert, but watch me praise you, God. You're so much better than that man. I might have got down at a whatever concert, but watch how I praise you. You thought I could dance at that wedding? Watch me now. Are you with me? Okay, all right, I'm done with the praise for a moment. We'll come back to it. Is everybody okay? Okay, point number 7. Joy comes when we live an honest biblical life. Psalm 97, 10 through 12. It says, "You who love the Lord, hate evil. You who love the Lord, hate evil." I understand you may still sin, but just have the mindset of "I hate the sin." And carry on. Are you with me? He preserves the souls of his saints, and he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. John 15, 10 through 12 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When we begin to walk an honest biblical life, and I know it's not easy, and I know we fall, and I'm in no way, shape, or form trying to suggest that you have to be perfect, because it's just not going to happen. But if we make a choice to make a stand and try to walk an honest biblical life, there is a joy that comes upon you, and it's available to you. It was Jesus' words, and if he said it, I can take it to the bank. Okay, point number 8. Joy comes when we continually praise God, watch this, for what he has already done. Past tense. See, the first one was praising him for what hasn't happened, right? Paul and Silas were praising in the jail cell. They hadn't been broke out yet. The walls of Jericho, they walked around, they let out a shout of praise before the walls came down. That was praising before. But now we're talking about praising because of what he has already done. And watch this, Psalm 126, 2 through 3, it says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing, and they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done,'" past tense, "'great things for them.'" And the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. When you're in that place, and there's like no joy, it's just all hope is lost. Just you're miserable and backslidden and depressed and all the other awesome expletives. Remember where you came from. Remember what he did. Remember what he got you through. Remember the last time that he touched you, and praise him for that. Watch, it'll change. Your soul will be lifted up. You will be encouraged in the Lord. Are you with me? I know it's not a normal Saturday night, but it's y'all okay? Okay. My last point, and then I'm done. The working of the Holy Spirit fills you with joy. Oh, I like this one. Let's go to John 16. This is my favorite one. Last point, and then I'm done. John 16. And I'm going to start, I think I gave you guys the wrong scriptures. So just bear with me, please. I'm sorry. Please don't shoot me. Verse 7. You guys are awesome. Thank you. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, I read that to read this. Let's go to verse 20. Now, this is all in the same chapter. Watch this. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." Okay, so this week I have to admit, I read that, and I did a little praise dance in the office, and I went and I shook Pastor John in his chair, and I said, "Brother, you see this? Jesus said, it's better that I go. For if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is a joy that will come to you. And that joy no one can take from you." That's so good. I'm trying real hard not to jump around for a minute. If you've been saved, if you are saved, put it that way, not been saved, are saved, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you have joy available to you. And he says that, and no one can take that from you. That means if you are operating without joy in your life, it's because you've allowed someone to take it. And they didn't have the right. Oh, that's good news. That means you can get it back, because it says no one can take it. That means when you get to your feet and you stand up and you say, "Lord, I want what is rightfully mine back. I'm a blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled Christian. Your word says that that joy will be mine, that I will be filled with joy. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and no one can take it from me. Lord, I go into the enemy's camp right now, and I disallow the enemy that caused me to be depressed. I disallow the enemy that stole my joy. I disallow the enemy that took my laugh away. I disallow the enemy that has caused me to be weak. I want to be strong again. Your word says that." Oh my God, Lord.
Fill this place tonight, Father, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Lord, I pray right now, here in this moment, for any person who is depressed, any person who has anxiety, any person who has lost their joy. Father, I pray tonight for a full restoration in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I ask, devil, take your hands off of them. That joy is not yours. It is theirs in Jesus' name. Jesus said no one was allowed to take it. So I ask, Father, that there would be a restoration of joy. Father, I pray a restoration of joy in the marriages. I pray a restoration of joy in every family in this place in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Father, I pray that the mothers and fathers would laugh again with their sons and their daughters. Father, I pray that even in the workplace and in the marketplace, there would be a joy unspeakable that would come upon your people in Jesus' name that would cause such a separation that the world would look at us even in this hour and say, I don't know what it is that you have, but whatever it is that you carry, I want some of that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, supernatural joy, let it come upon your people, Lord. We need to be in your presence again, Father, because it's in your presence that the fullness of joy comes. Father, I give you the praise, I give you the honor, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Would somebody agree with me tonight and give him a shout of praise like you believe it?
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.